Three, two, one, go. Careful. What are you doing? Are you okay?
Hello and welcome to Power Drifting, the Rally Game podcast. My name is Tom and I'm joined once again here in the virtual cockpit by the one and only Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Tom. Yeah, good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah. I was going to say it's been a while. In the 5 months since we were last here in the virtual cockpit, it looks like a small family of squirrels has made a home in the glove box, and there's a sort of a greenish mildew forming here on the steering wheel. But fear not, we're back to give this wreck a much needed service. Can you see where I'm going with this, Mike? This is Service Area, which is a new show type here on Power Drifting, where we take a break from discussing a single rally game, and instead we slow down a little bit to discuss some pertinent news and upcoming games. So join us as we pop the hood, as our American friends say, and get covered in the thick, oily goodness of rally gaming news. Did I go a bit Keemstar there? I don't know. I am a little bit. It's funny, I'm 40 and I shouldn't know who Keemstar is, but when you spend your entire life on the internet, cultural osmosis can occur. But as usual, I digress. So first things first then, Mike, let's just jump in. I've gone, isn't that somebody else? Doesn't Philippe DeFranco do that? Let's just jump in. I'm getting mixed up with my weird sort of YouTuber people.
Yeah, I try to stay away from YouTube as much as possible.
Speaking of YouTube, just before we go jump into rally games, I have found this really interesting channel where this guy, I think he's like Russian or something, or Estonian, he finds like these old wrecks in fields and junkyards, and then like basically gets them back running again with like minimal effort. It's just really cool to see like an old Volkswagen estate car that's been left in a field for like 10 years be brought back to life, you know, kicking and screaming back to life after like 10 years just sat dormant. Again, I'm digressing, but it's an interesting channel. I can't remember the name of it, but it's worth looking at if you can randomly stumble across it, as I did. But yeah, first things first, a game that we've discussed previously on the podcast has come back to the fore, and that game is Art of Rally from Fun Selector. Fun Selector, a fabulously named developer, with an amazing little sort of chipmunk's face for the logo. But yeah, Art of Rally has come to the Xbox and the Switch. I've played the Xbox version. Have you played either version, Mike?
I've played the Xbox version.
Okay, I think it's because I think the majority of people on console will play it on the Xbox because it's part of Game Pass.
Indeed.
But I know it's on the Switch. And the Switch one is an interesting one. I'm not somebody who like takes great pleasure in dissing the Switch, if that's the right word, but I've seen video of it and it looks a little bit rough. It looks like a very low res, like PC minimum graphical settings rendition of Art of Rally. Yeah. Not that that takes away from the great sort of gameplay and fun that the game offers, but it does look a little bit rough. Likewise, I played it on the Series X and it's every bit as good as it was on the PC, on Steam. Speaking of Steam, Mike, did you ever get it running on your PC?
Yeah, I did, yeah. So I played it for quite a bit. It sounded like I was in a car. The amount of sound my PC was making whilst it was trying to win it. But I played it for, I think I went to, I can't remember what year it starts in now, 1967, is it?
Yeah, it's late 60s,
So I think I got to 1970, right? It wasn't a huge amount, but I played the same stages over and over again. The Japanese stages looked really, really cool. So I played a little bit on PC.
Yeah, the Japanese stages with the sort of the green rolling fields and the sort of the pink blossom trees.
That's right, yeah.
It looks really cool, yeah. One of the new additions to Art of Rally for this update coincides with the new Kenya stages, which, again, is just excellent to have more content, and I'm sure that over time, even more new environments will be added. I'd really like to see Wales added, personally, because it's a bit of a glaring omission for me that Wales isn't included as one of the base environments. But Art of Rally, now on console, it had to happen. I'd be very intrigued to see how it plays on the Switch without those analog triggers, though. I mentioned that in our bonus stage that we did when we looked at the full game a couple of episodes back. So overall, it looks like, for all intents and purposes, the general consensus is that the Switch version is very good, even though it's got those graphical downgrades. So yeah, Art of Rally, excellent stuff. On the topic of top-down style rally games, there seems to be a bit of a resurgence of late, a renaissance, if you will. Was it Power Drive, a renaissance? I think is the term I used on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I mean, even though there are a lot of these games now coming out, I think some of them take inspiration from other games away from Power Drive. So things like Neo Drift Out is one that is you know heavily influential in some of these games. But we'll get to that. First, one of these new games I want to talk about is a game called Rush Rally Origins from Brown Monster, the studio that brought us the excellent Rush Rally 3, a game that I think we're both still in agreement, Mike, is probably the best rally game on the Switch.
I think so. I think with a caveat, not to try and spoil the next couple of minutes of the episode, so... But yeah, it was the greatest rally game on the Switch.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. So, Rush Rally Origins, then, it is a mobile game and a Switch game. And the good thing about this is that the game has actually been launched at a sort of a semi-budget price point, less than a fiver, I believe, certainly in the UK. So for the mobile version, it's like £4.99, and the Switch version is similarly priced, which is really commendable because usually when this kind of thing happens, the Switch version comes out and it's like £30 because of the Switch tax, inverted commas. But no, here at Brown Monster have put this out at a similar price point. So well done, basically, for that. I've got a couple of questions, Mike.
Okay.
First of all, is Rush Rally Origins just Rush Rally 3, but played from the overhead camera view that you could get in Rush Rally 3 already? Because that's kind of what I was hoping it wouldn't be.
I mean, it's based on the same concept. It's certainly, it's not a massive divergence from that. But that was what I was expecting to an extent. I mean, the stages are different.
Okay, that's another thing I was going to ask. It's not just the same game, but with a different viewed out. Sort of
I mean, it's been a long time since I've played Rush Rally 3, so in all fairness, it might just be the same stage that I've forgotten. I wouldn't be surprised. Too many rolls in the car, and I've obviously forgotten stuff over the years. But
yeah.
So I don't think it's the same stages, but it does what it says on the tin to an extent. It is literally, you know, a rally game from top down perspective. I said you have two different versions. You have an isometric version, and you have one sort of following the car. Mm. Almost like a Game Boy Advance type game where you sort of just like, you know, above but behind. But the isometric view for me, it is literally Power Drive. It is literally going back to those sort of looking through magazines back in the 1990s and seeing this really weird isometric rally game before rally games became really popular. It's that cool coolness to it. It's just a really good solid game.
Nice. I'm also having flashbacks of. What was it called? You could race cows and things. Skidmarks? Super Skidmarks?
Super Skidmarks.
Remember that? Yeah,
great game.
That's another one that would be really cool to see come back, but I doubt we'll see it in our lifetime.
Yeah, I think possibly Evercade version. I'm trying to think whether the Evercade has Super Skidmarks on the Codemasters collection or not.
That's interesting,
That should be shipped this weekend, so hopefully I'll know tomorrow, hopefully. But yeah, so for me, I've said this on the podcast before, that top-down racing games are my thing. I could happily play Micro Machines 96 for the next 20 years and not get bored of it. So these kind of games, and I've always wanted a really, really deep, in-depth top-down rally game. So for me, I think Rush Rally Origins does exactly what I wanted from it. And it works really, really well. And it's just great to see all this resurgence of top-down and isometric rally games.
Yeah, and from one sort of isometric top-down rally game to another one that's not actually out yet, but I've been lucky enough to be given a Steam key for it just to have a sort of little play around. And this game is called Super Woden GP. And as I mentioned earlier, this is a little bit more like Neo Drift Out than Power Drive, just because the angle is slightly shifted on 45 degrees. But I have to say, even though the name is a little bit odd, and I'll tell you exactly why it's called what it's called in a sec, but I'm going to go straight out and say this. This is one of the best isometric rally games I think I've ever played. It's absolutely brilliant. Just the whole styling of it, the graphical style, it looks like a mixture between like 16-bit and 32-bit. I love it, the sort of the real-world setting. And again, it does very much feel like an upgrade or a modernization of Neo Drift Out more than Power Drive. The reason it's called Super Woden GP, though, is that I asked the developer, a guy called Vidya, I'm going to murder this guy's Twitter name, Vidyuda GD, Vidyuda DG, GD, oh, I butchered that already, I'm going to stop, but we'll put a link in the description. I asked him what the Woden means, because I thought it might be a word in, you know, another language that means something, but he responded saying that we chose this name when we were teenagers and started in music. We were just deciding what to call ourselves, and we googled some random stuff and we liked it. Unfortunately, 15 years later, the band has disbanded, but I wanted the name of the group to endure in this way. And in fact, some of the songs from Super World and GP are adaptations of some songs that the band did in the past. So I thought that was a nice little bit of trivia that they basically took the name of the band that they had when they were kids and turned it into a full-blown Neo Drift Out homage and kept the name, which is quite nice, really. But onto the game itself then. As I say, isometric view, fantastic vehicle handling. It's so much fun. It's like really sort of, it's one of the games where you pick it up and you're like, you feel it's the controls are a little bit loose and you're like, oh, a bit twitchy. But then once you get to grips with them, you're just power sliding around every corner and it's just so much fun. The AI is spot on and it feels a little bit hard to start with. But once you start battling your way through the extremely well done career mode, which also almost looks like, do you remember Gran Turismo where you turn it on and you have this like map of a city?
Yeah.
Different like car manufacturers and different races that you could go to, and it was all sort of laid out in a sort of a map style. It's like that. So you get a certain amount of money to begin with. You can only buy certain types of cars, and then you can enter like weekend race meets. If you win those, you get stars, which add to your star meter. You also get money, which you can use to buy cars. And it kind of works in harmony where the better you do in some races, the more stars you get, so you can enter more championships. But then you need to use the cash that you win in previous races to upgrade to new cars. Certain events only let you use certain cars. That kind of thing. It's really well done, really well implemented. And it's just got a really nice, steady learning curve. So the first few races, you'll just have like a really slow car. You won't win any races and you'll just get sort of slightly annoyed with it. But as you continue to replay the same tracks, you almost pick up a sort of a muscle memory and you remember where all the different turns are, to the point where you're actually competing now. You're getting on the podium, you're getting money, you can buy new cars, you can enter new championships, and it just all works really, really well. So I've got high hopes for this one. It looks great as well, sounds great, and just plays really, really well. So Super World and GP, I think, is one to look out for, and I would be very interested to know if they've got any plans to put this out on other consoles, because I think it'd do really, really well outside of Steam. But, you know, it's early days as yet, and I think it's coming out sometime in September. It's coming out soon.
But yeah, I think, from what I remember reading, I think it's out on 1st September.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. 1st September. 9 days.
1st of September 2021, Super World and GP. Definitely give that a look if you are into these kind of rally games. Okay, so from a game that's on the verge of release and one that's actually, or two that are already out for you to sample, let's move on to another interesting looking little project that's very much in its infancy. It's embryonic. Even, shall we say, that is a project called Overjump. Overjump, obviously, a play on the old Sega Rally Overjump, as you obviously go over a jump. so this I was alerted to this via Twitter. The gentleman that runs the Twitter account, Alessandro, seems like a really cool guy. I spoke to him via Twitter and asked what this thing was. And essentially, it's a reimagining of the original Sega Rally, but created in Unreal Engine 5. Looking at his Twitter account, it's at Overjump Rally, if you wanted to get some more information. But it's quite an ambitious project. And I asked, you know, what's the story here? What are you actually trying to achieve? And he responded thusly. So he says, Alessandro says, I was looking for a simple yet interesting game to make while learning Unreal Engine 5. It needed to be fairly contained with predominantly natural landscapes, with rock formations, no complex animations or models, and of course, fun to play. Sega Rally checked all the boxes. I grew up playing it on the Saturn, so there's definitely a nostalgia factor for me, and it's definitely true for a lot of people. The goal is to do an overhaul of the graphics while keeping the gameplay similar, cars and tracks. Also thinking about adding extra features such as different times of day, weather conditions, online matching, worldwide leaderboards, and a few Easter eggs and game modes that would make hardcore fans very happy. That would make me happy. I'd love to play a fully recreated version of the original Sega Rally in Unreal Engine 5. And yeah, I mean, as I said earlier on, it's still very early days yet. And Alessandro has released a few videos via his Twitter account, just showing sort of proof of concepts and some models of vehicles and the tracks and whatnot. But I've got high hopes for this one, and I hope that he can actually do it justice. I don't know, have you seen any of this, Mike? And do you have any thoughts about any of this that I've just kind of spoken at you?
I've not been paying much attention to social media in the last few weeks, so I haven't seen much about it. So I think I saw something I said to you earlier on. I think I saw it sort of at the corner of my eye whilst perusing some Dreamcast content on Twitter earlier on, And I think I thought I didn't really take it in what it was, and you said what it was. It's like, yeah, fantastic. I had to look up what it was. Yeah, it looks really good, really interesting. I mean, anything which brings new rally type experiences or anything like that at the current time is fine by me.
Yeah, it's all welcomed. And again, especially since as anyone who's listened to our very first proper episode, SS1 Sega Rally, will know, we've both myself and Mike do have a lot of love for Sega Rally. So if Overjump can meet its expectations, we will be very happy indeed. I'm sure a lot of other people will as well. You know, that said, you can still get Sega Rally for the PC, and you know, you can play various games on retro consoles, but I think a newly reimagined version with like things like Time of Day and all the mod cons of modern rally games would be welcomed.
Yeah, indeed.
I wonder if Sega would like do anything though if they saw this and was like, actually no, that's our IP, you can't do this. You know, like Nintendo does with its like fan games, where they sort of crush the dreams of bedroom coders the world over.
Yeah.
You know, there was a Pokemon game, wasn't there, a while back, where they basically stamped on it and said no. And there was a Metroid, I think there's a Metroid game as well, like a fan-made Metroid game.
Unfortunately, it's going to happen, isn't it? People are going to do it. They've got to protect their IP to an extent, so I can see why. But Sega, you'd hope, would be a bit more bit more nice about it. But then
I think the term you're looking for is laissez-faire, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, I've not heard of Sega ever overreacting to an unauthorized product.
No, me neither. yeah, but it sounds interesting, and you can follow updates on Twitter at Overjump Rally. Okay, let's have a bit of a step change now, Mike. We'll move away from the sort of the indie scene and more onto the AAA side of things, if you want to call that AAA, inverted commas, air quotes, aplenty, mainstream. Dirt 5, again,
yeah.
A game we've covered in the past, a game that I think we're both quite fond of. New DLC has been released in the not-too-distant past. The supersized content pack, which includes 27 new career modes. 27 new career mode events, not 27 new career modes. That'd be a bit much.
That'd be impressive.
Yeah.
an impressive DLC, that would be.
Yeah, it's only 16 gig to download. Yeah. and 4 new cars, as well as other new items like car liveries and other visual additions. It's interesting, Dirt 5, because, I mean, it's been out for a while now, but it still seems to have, you know, a lot of online buzz around it.
Yeah.
And I put it on recently the other day for the first time in months, and I was kind of astounded again at just how good it looks still on the Series X. You know, with all the particle effects and all the fire and everything going off. And I think what it is that since it came out, and I wasn't massively bowled over by it because it wasn't fully like next gen, again, air quotes. Since then, I've kind of played so many other games, and I kind of got used to the fact that maybe this new generation of consoles isn't going to be like the step change that we had when like we went from like N64 to Dreamcast. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Yep.
So it's just like an incremental upgrade. But then going back to it the other day, I was like, wow, you know, this does actually look really, really good. So maybe we were a little bit, or maybe I was a little bit harsh on it when we did our episode, a few episodes back on Dirt 5. But it's nice to see that they are still releasing these content packs, and I think there's more to come because, and this will lead nicely into the next topic, I can't see Codemasters working on a new Dirt game now or in the next year because of what's happening with the WRC license in 2023, is it? Is it 2023 when they get the license?
I think it is 2023, yes. What is it next year?
Yeah, it's in the next few years, and I can't see them putting you know, untold amounts of time and effort into releasing a new Dirt Rally game or a new Dirt game, because the time is coming where they're going to be handed the WRC license on a platter, and they're going to obviously create some kind of new game with that. So I can see Dirt 5 having quite a long tail, as they call it in the industry, where they'll keep putting out new content packs for it and keep it going for as long as possible, which is a good thing. I've got to be honest though, Mike, I haven't actually bought any of these DLC packs for Dirt 5, mainly because if you buy them all separately, it comes up to something like £30, because they're like £8.99 each.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a tightwad, so I haven't bought any of them. And I'm not one of them people who likes to just buy like cars or, you know, aesthetic things like liveries and stuff. I'm not interested in that. I'd like new content, like new tracks and things. So don't know how you feel about that kind of thing.
I think Dirt 5 is the only Dirt game I've not bought DLC for. I just didn't. For me, it just felt a little bit like, it felt like Grid Autosport for me, which was a great game. I love Grid Autosport. But after a while, it just got a little bit repetitive, a little bit boring. Maybe it's my change in tastes, I'm not sure, but I'm a massive fan of Codemasters racing games, and it's just, I think after a while, Dirt 5 is probably the opposite of you by saying to it. I think I've sort of gone off it the more time's gone on.
Interesting.
But DLC, I mean, some of Codemasters DLC for Dirt games in the past have been really good. I remember the Monaco Rally was added as a DLC for Dirt, I want to say Dirt 3 possibly. So yeah, I've not touched DLC unfortunately myself.
There was some good Dirt 2 DLC where they brought like the Colin McRae vehicle and tracks and like sort of mini career mode in as well, didn't they, with the Subaru Impreza and all the Scottish tracks. That was quite cool.
Yeah.
But with Dirt 5 I've not really dipped in. Dirt 5 DLC is out and has been coming out nice and steadily for the last couple of months. So yeah, if you're a fan of that, get involved. And if you want to, let us know what you think of it by getting in touch on Twitter, which I'll give the handle out at the end of the episode. Right, the other one, Mike, the other mainstream game that we're going to talk about is WRC. And it kind of leads on nicely from what we're saying there about Dirt 5, obviously because Codemasters gets a WRC license in a few years. So it looks to me like Kiloton are kind of going all out to impress, get the maximum amount of bang for buck out of this license. And so far, the trajectory is on an upwards sort of trend, because the last couple of WRC games have just been fantastic and then just better and better for me. Starting with 7, they kind of nailed it. And then with 8 and 9, they just kind of improved on a winning formula. And 10 looks like it's going to be the biggest and best yet, really, for me. So, yeah, WRC 10, it launches in September 2021, which is at the time of recording this in about 2 weeks. And again, it's the 50th anniversary of the WRC, so it's quite a big deal. And Kiloton are going all out to make WRC 10 the most content-packed installment that they've come up with yet. I mean, WRC 9, as I said, was up there with Dirt 2 at the top of the pile in terms of like AAA rally games, again, inverted commas. But WRC 10 is adding a bunch of new content. Have you seen any of this, Mike? Have you seen any like the trailers? I know you've had a bit of a sort of hiatus off social media and whatnot, but have you seen what they're actually including?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I have. Yeah, so I've been keeping an eye on it. I mean, I've been trying to find WRC 9 for the last several months at a good price online, because I've been wanting to play it again, and it's holding its price quite well, which is, I think, it's quite a good sign, probably. But yeah, I've had a look. It's not a generational leap, I don't think, from what I've seen, unless you've seen something I haven't seen. No, I haven't seen anything which is a massive generational leap. But yeah, you're right. They fine-tuned the craft in the last couple of years. I think 9 was probably the best competitor to Dirt for. I can't think what the last series that would have competed with Dirt really was, but good 10 years, probably for a good 10 years, the best rally game alternative. So, yeah, it looks really good. I think they've proven now that they've done a job in the past. So WRC 10 should be really, really good. What I would say is that I probably wouldn't get it day one, because they are known for being a little bit shaky at the beginning.
You make some interesting points there, Mike, especially about WRC 9. They did release an update patch for WRC 9 for the next gen consoles, for the PS5 and for the Xbox Series X, which did enhance the visuals somewhat.
Yep.
Not a massive amount, but it did add a sort of an extra sheen to them. I think that's where they'll be going with WRC 10 from the start, especially for the next gen consoles, or current gen consoles, if you want to call them that. There are a couple of things that I hope they don't get wrong, which I'll go to in a sec, but to begin with, some of the extra content is really interesting sounding. For a start, they've added the whole of the new 2021 season, so that includes the new rallies in Estonia, Croatia, Belgium, and Spain. Uh-huh. And for me, this is the most important piece of this puzzle. It's the historic rallies and the historic content that they're adding. They're adding a ton of classic vehicles, classic rallies and classic stages, and also like a sort of scenario mode where you have to race like a classic stage from, you know, the history of rally, which is really interesting sounding. And do you know, like in, I don't know if you ever played this, but like in like PES, they used to have like these things where it's like it's the end of the second half and you need to score 2 goals in order to like win the World Cup or something.
Yeah, it's in the Formula One games as well. Codemasters, Formula One games.
Yeah. So of course it is, yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, of course it is. So that's really interesting, and I'd be very intrigued to see how that pans out. And of course, you know, as time goes on, once the game is launched, and, you know, if it gets as much positive feedback as WRC 9 did, then I'm sure there'll be tons of DLC and like loads of extra cars and vehicles and whatnot. So yeah, it's great. They've really put themselves up there in my estimation because they've come such a long way from something like WRC5, which was WRC5 then, or was it WRC6 where they started doing them? I can't remember, but the
I
early.
think it was six. I think six. I think five was the last one of the milestone, was it?
Yeah, Milestone. Yeah, of course.
I
Yeah.
think milestone.
So yeah, from that first Kiloton WRC game, which for me was a bit of a mess, they've come so long. They've come so far. It's fantastic to see. One of the sort of things that I really just hope they get right is the career mode, because in WRC 8 and 9, it was essentially the same game mode, sort of rehashed very slightly. And I'd really hope that they can add something new this time, which isn't just the same career mode again, because that would, even in light of all the extra content, all the classic cars and all the scenario modes, it would smack of laziness a little bit if they just rehashed it again. So I really hope they get it right, and I have no doubt that they will, because they've done so such a fantastic job with the previous two or three games in the series. And this is only a good thing for people like us, Mike, because Codemasters will be looking at what Kiloton are doing and going, we can do that, or we could add our own sort of spin on this as well. So it'd be very interesting to see how much of what Kiloton does remains when Codemasters takes over the license in a few years' time.
Yeah, I think for me the biggest thing is what Codemasters do with the license, in reflection of sort of taking on the story mode, which obviously they've done with Formula One. Obviously a big thing that EA Sports do. Obviously EA now in Codemasters, and so I'm interested to see a sort of a story mode in a WRC game. Was that'd be pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, that'd be really good. Yeah, like starting off as like an amateur and then like getting all the way up into the WRC, like following a particular character's like and having like rivalries and things like that.
Well, exactly, yeah, because like you had it in Tokyo Race Drivers, you had it in Formula One, but actually it's a bit sort of shoehorned in, because in Formula One you're driving in Formula Two or Formula One, that's it. So there's not really any sort of career to it. Tokyo Race Drivers always been a little bit, you're racing in trucks 1 minute and then cars in the next. It's a little bit. Is it realistic, really? A proper story mode in a rally game. You know what? That could work pretty well. I think that would work surprisingly well, actually. Codemasters are the masters of presentation, aren't they? Codemasters are exceptional at what they do. So, for me, as much as I do appreciate what Kiloton have brought, I'm still a massive Codemasters fan. I think if Codemasters can bring what they've done to Formula One and bring it to WRC, that we could be in for something exciting in a couple of years' time.
Definitely, and not to just kind of go over all ground that you've just stated there, but to see a career mode where you start off at the very, very lowest sort of junior leagues or almost amateur leagues, where you have these rallies that they don't get any kind of airtime other than in like the very specialist press, and then building your way all the way up to, like I say, the top of the tree in WRC. That would be just, yeah, that'd be brilliant. That'd be such a cool thing to see. Well, anyway, for the time being, WRC 10 is launching imminently, and we will undoubtedly cover it when it does launch, or after a while after it launches. But yeah, I think that's gonna pretty much do it for this very first service area episode. That's your lot, essentially. So thanks for listening to us ramble about upcoming and recently launched rally shenanigans. Obviously, this episode will be out of date in a matter of weeks, so we'll do these service area episodes every now and then, as new games are announced or as new things come to our attention. If you like what you've heard, please do give us a follow on Twitter at PowerDriftPod. You can also find every episode that we do on our YouTube channel. If you just search for PowerDrifting the Rally Game Podcast on YouTube, you'll find a video, which is not really a video, it's basically a still image and our voices. And that's because I can't be bothered recording footage and editing it together, because this takes long enough to edit anyway. So yeah, sorry. If you're an indie dev and you'd like for us to chat about your game, or if you just want to get in touch and tell us how much you hate our voices, then DMs are open, as the kids say. For now though, Mike, I think it's time we got out of the virtual cockpit, as the windows are steaming up and I'm getting a little claustrophobic, especially as you still insist on bringing your life-sized cardboard cutout of Commander Worf into the cockpit with you. I thought we'd spoken about this.
And my full-size Batleth. Because I'm cool. I mean, this is what you have to you see it. I'm so cool. I bring all of these great geek umbrella with me.
Do you know what would be really cool if we could get the guy who plays Worf to like come on the podcast? I mean, it'll never
Michael
happen, but
Dorn.
yeah.
get a cameo on him, just a little cameo thing, get him to appear on the podcast. He'd be fine. Yeah. He'd be fine with it.
Oh, I wonder if you could do like a, hi, you're listening to Powderdrift Podcast, and Mike, you're the coolest man alive.
That'd be pretty cool.
I approve your Mechleth, or whatever it's called.
Batleth.
I do apologise. I'm certainly sorry. And on that bombshell, until next time, goodbye. Are you going to say goodbye, Mike?
Goodbye. Goodbye, Mike. It's all trick, mate, all trick.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Right, we'll stop it there. Mike, 1 second. Someone's just at the door. Give me a second. I'll edit this bit out. It won't be a minute.
That's all right.
Hey, it won't be a sec. All right. Cheers. Sorry, mate. I'm back.
That's all right.
Kel was meant to be listening out for the door, but she obviously didn't, so I had to go down and answer it. I can't remember what I was talking about now. Dirt 5, wasn't it?
Yeah, Dirt 5. Yeah, so.